Thank you so much. Take your Bibles this morning, if you would, and go to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, 2 Timothy chapter number 1 in your Bibles. And I know that there are so many places in the Scripture that God praises mothers, that we could go, and there are classic places in the Scripture that we could go where there are dedications of children by their mother. But this morning, in the day and age that we live and where we are in times, you know, we're in the end times, folks. I mean, we don't have much time left. I believe it's been preached since I was a boy that Jesus was returning and our time was short. If there ever was a time, and years past, I could just say that a child, the morality of our country, just people around guided and shaped morals of our children. But in our day, morals are out the window. Morality is mocked and scorned by the world. And if they're going to get it, they're going to get it at home. And the one that's going to be there and teach it to them more than anyone else is going to be mother. Mother is going to teach them what is right and wrong more than one time. And I'm not, my mom will undoubtedly get on the phone afterwards and let me know about this. But let me tell you, the person that was, my dad worked a lot. And my mom worked a lot too, but it was mother that was there. And oftentimes when I said something, and I would have got killed if I said a curse word in my home, okay? They were not talking about, I said something that didn't line up with what they were trying to teach me, or if I said anything that was just a little bit back-talky, or if I could say smart-alecky, my mom was not above. She hit the part that offended her. She didn't wait to get the paddle out and say, she took action right then and there. And I had never forgotten that. And it moved me. It taught me morals. It shaped who I am because my mom cared about me and realized that if I did wrong, and we live in a day and age where we think again, I'm sad that we've come to a place where we let the world define what abuse is. Okay. Abuse is you taking all your time for yourself. Amen. And trying to get ahead in the world and leaving your kids to raise themselves. That's abuse. Amen. A lot of children are being abused today because they're raising themselves. That is the opposite of love. The opposite of love in this life is selfishness, not hate. Not met too many mothers that hate their children, but I've met a lot that cared for themselves more than their children. I'm not trying to offend folks today, I'm just trying to preach the truth. And I found in this life that oftentimes when you preach the truth, it offends folks. Here we find in the Scripture a model, Paul writing to Timothy, his son in the faith, not his son in the flesh. Someone that he cares about, and he's marking down some things and makes mention of a generational faith that is going on. Let me begin by saying that no one has been saved because their mom or dad was saved. No one has ever come to Christ because it was passed down or because God chose you because he chose your mom or dad. That is false theology. That is a false religion. Every person must accept Christ on their own. Amen. But I can go back in my mind's eye and I can look and mark faith in my grandmother's life. And I believe I could see that it wasn't just put on. There was something different about her. And I could look in my mother's life and I could see that she had a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I could mark that, and I saw that it was real. And it didn't just come to me because they had it, but I saw that they had it, and I went looking for what they had. And I found it in Jesus Christ. It's the only place to find salvation. So here, Paul is going to write to Timothy, and he's going to give him some things, and I want to preach just, I won't try to keep you long today, and usually that is a preacher shooting himself in the foot when he talks about time, amen. All right, so just mark her down. If I go long, it's my own fault. I just shot myself in my foot, okay? But Let's pray together and then we'll dive into the message. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Dear Lord, I do thank you for your many blessings. God, I thank you again for the mothers that are not only present, but those, God, that you've used in our lives, God, to shape and mold us. Help us to be thankful people for mothers that taught us morals and taught us the Bible. God, help us today as we look into this. If there is anyone inside the room today, not just mothers, but anyone that is here today that does not know Jesus as their Savior, that today would be the day of salvation for them, we'll pray and ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In 2 Timothy chapter number 1, Paul begins by saying, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise, look, to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. That is where salvation is going to be found. Verse number 2, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. I want you to see that he has taken the role of spiritual father to Timothy. And one of the things, daddies, it's not Daddy's Day. We're here to honor mothers today. But daddies, we can learn something from the scripture as well. If there's a position for the father in the home, it ought to be one of prayer. I believe that too many times in our lives, sometimes fathers, we talk about absent fatheritism, but a lot of times daddy ought to be working. Dad, you ought to get a job. You ought to support your family. You ought to take care of things. Amen. But they never should be absent of your mind. They should ever be present with you, praying and making intercession for your children daily. I want to just say, as the pastor, if there was anything that I felt like was a load rested upon me, it was one of prayer, one of worrying for the people, praying that the people that would sit in the seats that would be here even today would be one that I would pray a hedge of protection about your life, about your eternal life. That you wouldn't be able to come into the building without feeling the strong urge of an almighty God upon your life, that you need to rest your eternal soul in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you need to trust in his finished work on Calvary for your sin debt to be paid. I don't know that anybody in this life, as a father, you understand the burden of protection. I realize this, I can't be with my children every moment of every day. But I have a father who can keep a hand on them. Even when they're driving out here with all the crazy people out on I-4. And they're out on the roads and I can pray a hedge of protection about them. And I can't be with them, but I'm still a father that wants my heavenly father to protect. Hey folks, I'm just here to tell you, that's a daddy. That's a daddy. Here Paul says, I worry about you. I care about you. And if a daddy worries, how much more does mom worry? Mamas are so, here in the scripture, if I could just say this, mamas are so fearful about things that could happen in their children's lives. They're always like, don't touch that, you're going to put out your eye. I remember the first BB gun I ever got. Amen. That was the first gun, bless God. I mean, it was just propelled by air, not gunpowder, but still there was power behind something. It was a projectile. It looked like an M16. If you want to know how I am, listen, my first BB gun looked like an assault rifle. I wanted to be a man. I didn't choose the Red Ryder BB gun. Give me a fully automatic weapon. Although it did not operate that way. I had to cock and pump just like everybody else, but it's what it looked like. And I remember my mom and dad, I mean, arguing about that, when I was going to be old enough to be able to shoot a projectile weapon. And my mom would say, I don't know, maybe you ought to wait till he's 12. And my dad said, woman, let the boy have a gun. He's a man. My mom did not want to keep anything back from me that was good. She knew that that would be good for me, but she did not want me to be hurt. Hey, I lived in a day. I just want to tell you, I grew up before boys had to ride bikes with helmets. It's hard enough to balance everything in the head God gave me, let alone put on a helmet and try to balance that thing and learn how to ride a bike. Amen? I'm just here to tell you, I mean, we're padding them up. We're duct taping them all over, got pads and everything, worried about them skinning herself up. I'm going to tell you, I learned more. I learned not to fall off that bike when I got skinned up. You know, people do crazy things when they don't realize they can get hurt. You know, a child is a lot better off falling off a bike than jumping out of a car and then realizing that that thing will skin you up. Because you know, it's a little bit of a scrape. It's an ouch, but it's a ah if you fall out of a car. Amen. Or jump out the back of a pickup. Amen and amen. You say, you're going a little bit far, preacher. I'm just telling you, we live in a day and age where we try to protect them so much. There's some things they need to learn. And even in this, I'll say this, and then I'll get to preaching, okay? I'm thankful for all the people, all the ladies in my life. I've had places. My mom and dad took me to North Carolina. It's where we spent. My dad had 2 weeks of vacation, and we would go 1 week, and we would spend it at a boy's home. And my dad and the man that ran that place, their hearts were knit together, and we would go there and just work for a week. They'd always plan one special day for us to go do something as a family with their family. But we would just build something every time. My dad would just go there, and we built 1 year. We took a old tobacco shed down in North Carolina and hauled it back to the place where their children's home was. And the next year we built it back up and made it it was their homeschool place for the boys that were at the boys' home. And I was raised doing those things. And 1 year our youth group was going as a missions trip to that place, and it was going to be about a month and a half before. And the man asked if I could stay there and help him with some things. I was probably 14 years old. I was a pretty good sized boy. And really he was saying, can I have him for slave labor for a month and a half? Amen. And they left me there and left me with them. And so I learned to appreciate my parents. I learned to appreciate what I had been given when I stayed with a bunch of boys whose parents didn't want them no more. When I stayed with a pack of boys who didn't have that same love and reception. And I remember what it was like. And I went into the church house and a lady thought I was one of the other boys. And she didn't think my mom and dad had me there. And just, she said, I'm going to be your mama while you're here. And that lady just mothered me the entire time I was there. And every time I came in the door, I got a hug when I went to church with them. And that lady just cared for me. I'm just going to tell you, listen, it doesn't always. Mothers that are in the building, listen, you don't have to stop mothering just because your kids moved out of the house. There are a bunch of people that didn't get what you got or what you gave your kids, and you ought to be looking all around for people that desperately need the mothering that they never received or that they can't receive because of distance. As we look in the scripture here this morning, I see some things that are very special in Timothy's life. As we pass through the prayer of the Father, we see in verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Look at verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Look at verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He says in verse 5, he says, I want to call you to remembrance the unfeigned faith. The message I want to preach this morning in just the next 10 minutes is passing on an unfeigned faith. Passing on an unfeigned faith. The word unfeigned means not counterfeit, not hypocritical, real, or sincere. We live in a day where people go to church, people call themselves Christian, but if we came down to their faith, not if it's real Christianity, whether they're really saved, but whether they truly have faith enough to trust in Christ, not just for salvation. Folks, salvation is so much more than being saved. There ought to be a transaction that happens not only that changes your soul, but changes your direction here on earth when you get saved. I'm thankful in my own life I can I can identify with Timothy. I can identify and say that the person in my life, this is a special area of Scripture for me, and I believe others could say amen. I can recall, if I look back in my life, I had a grandmother who loved the Lord. Her faith was not a feigned faith. It was not a hypocritical faith, but it was real. It was one that moved her to come and get her grandson and to bring me to church week after week after week. And when my parents got saved and got in church, I knew what it was like not only to have a grandmother that prayed for me, that interceded for me, that encouraged me, but her daughter now, my mother now, took up the mantle and spent all that time in investing in me and loving me and protecting me and teaching me and taking me to church. But beyond that, I remember I was the oldest child, and as my mom grew as a Christian and in the Christian faith, I remember that she started a puppet ministry for our teenagers. And I remember as a young teenager and young adult, I remember doing puppets. I would go all through all our junior age churches, and we had cassette tapes, and we would practice with others. My mom was one that didn't just mother me, but she mothered other teenagers who didn't have a home to go to where mom was going to love them and teach them the Bible and feed them and that fried chicken for them and all the things that people need done. Amen. They would come to my house and say, they wouldn't want to go home because they felt like, I didn't realize how blessed I was, folks, until I realized that my parents, everyone else as a teenager, as a late teenager, it dawned on me that I don't ever go hardly to anybody else's house. Everybody wants to be at my house. I realized how blessed I was that my mom not only loved me, but she loved my friends. She not only fed me, but everybody else that I would bring into that place. Never complained about it. Was happy that I would bring my friends to the house. She didn't ever complain about how we were dirtying the place up. She was just thankful that I had my people there because maybe their house wouldn't teach me the right things. She wanted me to be home. Hey, can I just say here in the Scripture, I see that there are some things. If we are going to pass on a faith that is real, a faith that is sincere, if you're going to pass this on to your children, there are some things that you have to do. Moms, to press on and to pass on the unfeigned faith, we got some things I see in verse 7 that we need to add. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear. My mom, I said before, was fearful of some things. If anybody was like, you know, my dad took us to a few carnivals, and she was like, I don't know if they can ride that yet. You know, I remember what it was like. I would always ride. My mom would get on the thing with me because I was the youngest child. And there wasn't anything that I wouldn't get on. I mean, I would ride it all. Amen. And mom would have to get on it with me sometimes. And then she was holding on to me the whole time like I was going to fly out of it. Like I wasn't strapped in. I mean, it would jostle, and she'd go, oh. She'd be driving. You know how dangerous it is, Mom, to reach over and let go of the steering wheel and hold your children in the car. Hold the wheel. But she cared about me. She wasn't worried about herself. She was worried about me. She had care for me. Listen, I'm going to tell you the one thing that I learned from my mother more than anything. There were things to fear and be protective of others, but she did not have a spirit of fear. My mother was a bold lady. She would tell people about Jesus. She would tell me when I got away from Jesus. She would tell me when I did wrong. She was not somebody that was loud or boisterous or obnoxious. She was just bold about the things that she believed. She did not give me a spirit of fear and pass it on. She gave me, I'm telling you, when I received Jesus Christ, I realized that I wasn't given a spirit of fear to be timid about everybody else, but that I got the truth, that the rest of the world is lost and on its way to hell, and that I needed to tell everybody about the Jesus that I received when I got saved. I didn't just get a spirit of fear about that, but that I could trust God. that God was real. He didn't wasn't just a God that would save me and my never dying soul, but He would watch out for me, that He would provide for me, that He would take care of me in my time of need. I didn't have a spirit of fear, but I had a God who gave me the Holy Spirit of God, and it gave me power. Not just a spirit of fear. I can't carry that on. I want to tell you, my grandmother, I remember in this life, I gotta testify today. If I could just tell you how good God was to me. I had a grandmom and a grandfather that when I came to Bible college, I sat down with my wife and we went through our finances, and I realized that I came here, and I'm not complaining, I'm just bragging on God today. I came here, and what I made per week, I started to make per month. And when I started to add up how the money in the month went, I was $100 shy of making my bills, of making everything go, and making everything right. And I fell on my face before God with my wife, and I begged God, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't have time to take a second job. I work for the church, and they need every moment that I have, and every other moment is spent over here at school. I can't give you any more time. I don't have any more, but I know you're almighty. I know you're all powerful. I know that you can supply my need. And I begged God that way with my wife. And then in the mail came a letter from my grandparents. We love you, boy, and God laid you on our hearts. And I want you to be my missionary in Florida. I want you to tell everybody that you see about Jesus. Me and your grandmother, God's laid it on our heart to support you for $100 a month. And you know, I got mad with God. I said, God, that's my grandparents. They're on a fixed income. You can't give it through my grandparents. You can't give it through them. That ain't how you can do it. And God said, whack, He plucked me in the head. I felt it from heaven. He said, you don't tell me who I can give through. They've been blessing you and investing in your whole life. Who else is going to give to you? Who else is going to step up and take care of the problem that's in your life? Don't you tell me who I can be and bless you through. And I just said, I'm sorry, God, I'm dumb. I'm so silly. Listen, He put me, you know, I was so thankful for that. Do you know God provided not only in my life, but He used them and built their faith up? Hey, folks, I'm just going to tell you, we serve a God and we don't have to fear. We don't have to have a spirit of fear. The world has gone through a spirit of fear. The world has fear. The world, but if we're going to pass something on to our kids, it better be a faith that can trust in God. How about this? If we're going to pass on an unfeigned faith, we have to pass it on. A spirit of power. Look at the scripture here. He says, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power. I just told you a great testimony of what God had done in my life, but I could just tell you more and more and more. After I had gone through that time and we took a time and went back home, my grandmother, I surrendered to preach when I was 18 years old. God used me to preach in my home church and in the jail and everywhere else, and I thought that was enough. But at 30 years old, when I told the church that I was going to Bible college and I was selling my business and I was packing up and I was moving to Florida to go to Bible college, there was a lot of people that weren't jumping on the bandwagon. A lot of people thought I had lost my mind. They said, you got service here. You're a youth pastor here. You could serve here. And I knew what God had done in my heart. But you know who was my cheerleader? My grandmother said, I knew it. I've been praying for that since you was 18 years old. I knew God was going to call you to preach. I knew God wasn't done with you yet. I knew it. Hey, folks, can I just tell us, mothers are not just special because they take care of us every day, but there are some that have unfeigned faith, and they pass it on to others, and they pray about it, and they give to it, and not just sacrificially through money, but their lives, they give and give and give. I stand here today, a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not because of any good that I have, but because of Jesus Christ and Him in other people's lives, like my grandmother and my mother who invested in me, not just showing me that they could, that you could throw off a spirit of fear, but there was a spirit of power, and that God would work through the prayers of his people, and that he would take the hands of others. And he said, these hands are your hands. I'm just here to tell you today that I'm here because of what God's done. How many of you are here today because your mom asked you to be in church? Look to others that have unfeigned faith. It's not just a Pastor Carter or a Pastor Parsons or Brother Perkins or all these other people that we could mark as a believer and say, hey, that person, I'm going to mark them and follow them. Some of you could look to your grandmother and say, boy, there's power of God in her, and I'm going to see what it is, and I'm going to mark them, and I'm going to follow them in this life. How about others? My mother. I'm thankful for my mother who loved me. And when times got tough, showed me that God was real. He doesn't just stop there with power, but he says of love. Time would not give us enough time to speak of a mother's love. I've already said today, when my dad was exhausted, when my dad had exhausted his compassion, my mother's love continued. As a father, and I love my children, and I love them unconditionally, sometimes I let my emotional state get to the place where I think I know what my children need. But I'm thankful that he didn't just give them a father, he gave them a mother. And that sometimes my wife stays my hand of judgment and gives me better reason and tells me, let's just love them here. Let's love them one more time. Sometimes when my compassion is spent, it is a mother's love that keeps the judgment. We could tell so many stories of the past where a mother stepped in before a judge and asked for pardon of a child. Not just power of a sound mind, but power of a real God. Not just love like the world loves, but love of a mother's love, of a real faith, a real love for God. Time would not give us time to talk about all the mothers and all the preachers. We could talk about John and Charles Wesley and their mother. We could talk about so many mothers who their love directed their sons and daughters into the ministry of Jesus Christ. But then he says, of a sound mind. If there was time to preach just on a sound mind, folks, we live in a crazy day. A day where mothers have sent their kids off to crazy places called college institutions, universities around the world, and allowed them to brainwash them with craziness. Mothers, you taught them better than that, to just send them off to institutions that would take their mind and twist it against God. Let me beg you today, pass on the sound mind for Jesus Christ that you have. Pass on the sound mind for creation that you have. Let me beg you again today to pass on the sound mind that you have for the love of God in your life. How about pass on the importance of the local church, the sound mind? We live in a day and age where the world has, even in this corona scare thing that went on, the importance for church. We see how unsound the world's mind is, that church is not essential. But that is so wrong. Church is essential. If we are going to have a country anything like what America used to be, we're going to have to get back to having a sound mind. We're going to have to get back to having a mind that is towards God and towards the things of church and the fellowship of the believer inside God's house. Even in the last few weeks, I've had somebody tell me, they thought, again, they were religious and had time together with their family in their home, but they had forsaken the assembling together of the church, and they realized in their time of need that they had no one. They had some family members, but they couldn't meet the need. This group of believers that you sit a part of today is not just some happenstance, but that same Jesus that came and spilled or shed his blood on the cross of Calvary for you and for me, he set up a local church for the believers to have a good life, to have a family that would bleed for each other and to love each other in times of need. Desperately, reaching out to each other. Folks, this life is only one life, and it'll soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Mother, keeping that in perspective in your home will help you train your children. Realizing the day and age we are in, that Jesus could come at any moment, or that you're raising your children not in the America of old, but one that does not have a sound mind. We need to even step up beyond what we've ever done before and train them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.
Amen.
With your heads bowed and your eyes closed this morning, let me say this. This unfeigned faith begins at salvation. It begins with a trusting in the Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, that your grandmother and your mother trusted in. This unfeigned faith starts with faith in Jesus Christ. If you're in the building today and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, I pray today would be the day of salvation. If you're here and you've been saved, but you've never been baptized and joined the local church, would you just step out and do that today? Would you stand to your feet? As Brother Bert sings, we'll give you opportunity to step out and walk down the aisle and trust in Christ or join the local church. Whatever God has spoken to your heart to do today, you do it. Brother Bert, would you sing?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
God's spoken to your heart today and you want to join the local church. The way you do that is come down the aisle and say, "Preacher, I want to join this good church." If you've never been scripturally baptized, we'll take you at your word that you've been saved and you've trusted in Christ, and then we'll get in the baptismal tank and you can be baptized and join the Landmark Baptist Church this morning. Many people have been saved in this church, and they're waiting on their opportunity. We have one down here this morning. Wouldn't you come and join the local church?
Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to
be seated in the auditorium. I have a few things to share with you.